A man who raped and murdered 30 women was arrested by an invisible force. Next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet, the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. It's going to be hard for you to believe, but on December 11th, 1981, a woman was praying, and she felt an impression to go to a Kmart department store. And she drove to the store, got out of her car, and Margie Palm, what happened?
Well, I was walking to my car, and when I got to the car, I felt something in my back, and I thought, what is that? And I turned around, and there was this man standing there. He was shaking and crying, and he had dressed in black. He had a gun about that big, not a small handgun, a big 38 caliber revolver, and he had it stuck in me. And then when I turned around, he stuck it right here. And he said, I am the man who killed the girl last night at, it was at a bar in San Antonio, Texas, where I live. And he said, and I have cut a man's heart out in prison. And if you don't do exactly what I tell you to do, I'm gonna kill you. And I knew he was serious. I'd never seen anybody remotely like this man except on TV. And so, and the other thing was I hadn't read the paper, so I didn't know that this man had done this, but it was headlines of our papers, newspapers, and friends of mine told me there were helicopters circling San Antonio looking for this man.
So, I mean, what he said was bad enough, but had you known that this was a man that murdered and raped 30 women, and the thing that's kind of amazing is there was a certain profile he was looking for. He was looking for a woman, because these are the women that he had murdered and raped previously that looked exactly like Margie. But she didn't know any of this, so the gun's in your ribs. What's the first thing you thought?
Yeah, well, the first thing I thought was, I'm gonna die today. That was the first thought that came into my mind. And I could feel this terror trying to come on me. I could feel my body starting to shake. And then out of my mouth, it was very interesting, out of my mouth came the words, do you know Jesus Christ?
You're saying that with the gun in your ribs, do you know Jesus Christ? What did he say?
He said, no, I don't want to know Jesus Christ, lady. He said, get in the car and sit on your hands until I decide what we're going to do. So I got in the car, I sat in the passenger side of the car, and he told me to sit on my hands, which I did. And he stuck his gun right here in my ribs, and he told me, if you try to escape, I will shoot this gun and kill you. So, and I knew he was serious. I'd never seen anybody like this man. So anyway, I started to pray, and I was like this in my car, and I was praying, and all of a sudden, I saw a picture inside of myself, and I also saw scriptures from the Bible, like there they were in front of me. And one of the scriptures said, I have given you authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Did this help you?
Yes, it helped me. I mean, I had been a believer in Jesus for many years. And of course, you know, this man's telling me he's going to kill me, and I'm seeing what God, I felt that this was what God was telling me, was the scripture. And then I saw the scripture that said, I have, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out demons. So then I saw a picture of myself take my hands out from under myself and put them on his head and command these demonic spirits to come out of him, which might sound very strange, but
Margie, this whole deal is unreal to me. It's unreal. So you're getting all these messages from God.
Getting all these messages from
God. But in the meantime, is a real life man that's a maniac with a gun right next to you in control.
But you know, the Bible says you're not wrestling with flesh and blood. It's, in other words, you're not wrestling with a human being. You are wrestling with principalities, powers, and rulers of the darkness of this world. It says you're wrestling with a demonic spirit many times in it. And I mean, I knew this man was filled with that. He was so filled with hatred and fear, and he was just, you could see it all over him. So,
Did you pray for him?
And I believed the Bible.
But did you pray for him?
I did. That was the next thing I did. And that, this probably was the hardest thing, one of the hardest things I did all day, because, you know, the Bible says to have faith, and faith is believing what God says and then doing it. So I had to believe so much what I was seeing that I did it. And I thought to myself, if this is not God, I'm dead. If I'm just making this up. So I took my, I didn't look at him. I said, I'm going to pray for you. And he said, lady, you're not going to pray for me. And I said, yes, I am. I took my hands out from under myself. I put them on his head and I said, in the name of Jesus, I use the authority of the name of Jesus, and I command every demonic spirit to come out of you, out of this man. I command it to leave my car. I command the spirit of death to leave my car. And I am telling you today that this man will be serving Jesus before today is over. And I mean, I was screaming this in the car. And
well, what was he doing?
Well, I think he was just frozen. He probably never had anything like that happen, obviously.
I'm sure the other 30 women didn't do that.
I sat back down and put my hands back under myself, and I kind of went like this. And the next thing he said was, oh my gosh, I'm in a car with a religious freak.
He really was.
I know. And he said, are you conning me? And I said, I've never even heard anybody say that to me. And I said, no, this is real. I'm really like this. And that morning I had put my Bible in my car and this book of scripture that I'd been compiling. And so I said, look, you think that's normal for a girl to carry a Bible and a book of scripture and evangelistic tapes I had in my car? I said, you think that's normal? And he said, no, I don't think it's normal. I said, this is real. I mean, I said, God put you. All of a sudden, I was realizing that God had put him in my car. And the other thing I was realizing was that the fear and terror that was in the car had left. After I prayed, all of a sudden, this peace came in the car. And
listen, you think you have problems. How would you have liked to have been in that car that Margie was in? I know you'll be back. We'll be back in just a minute. Hello, YouTube Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural. Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, and we have a word in Hebrew. It's called chutzpah. It means nerve. And Margie Palm had nerve. She was in a car with a psychopathic rapist murderer, had just murdered 30 women that looked exactly like her, one just a few hours earlier. And she puts her hands on him and prays that he be set free. He calls her a religious fanatic, and he drives her to a secluded spot. And what happened next, Margie?
Well, the next thing that happened was he said to me, I don't know why, but I don't feel like raping you. I feel more love coming out of you than anybody I've ever known in my life. I don't know why. I mean, I don't understand. Are you an angel, or who are you? And I don't understand why you're not afraid of me. And I said, well, you know, Jesus is not going to appear to you unless it's a phenomena, but he appears through his people. And you are being confronted with Jesus Christ today, with his love, because all day he was telling me that he said, I have so much hatred in me. If there is a God, there's no way he can get it out of me. And I said, well, I would say, well, there's no, the only reason I'm in this car is because God put me in the car with you. And so when I wasn't afraid of him, he started thinking I was an angel. But that was the reason I didn't have fear is because God's power was in the car. I mean, he said there's a scripture that says there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. And he was feeling that.
Now, what did you feel towards him?
That was the other amazing thing was, at first I felt that fear. But after I prayed that prayer, this peace came into my car, and I felt this overwhelming compassion toward him that I don't know that I've ever felt that much compassion for anybody that is hates me and is trying to kill me. But I felt this overwhelming love and mercy and compassion for him, and I kept hearing the God seemed to be telling me over and over, my mercy endures forever. And I felt, I kept thinking to myself, this is God's love. This is how God loves people.
And a man as separated from God as this man could feel, that love was able to penetrate it.
Yeah, it was penetrating him, because even after a while, I mean, he was saying horrible words, cussing up a storm, really. But every time he'd say a cuss word, he would say, I'm so sorry, lady, I'm saying that. I am so sorry. I know that's offending you. He was starting to become convicted every time he'd say a word, a word that might be offensive to me, which was very interesting. Then we started talking, and he said, I'm never going back to prison again. And I said, well, you're in a prison right now. You're in a prison of hate. And I said, there are people that go into prisons and help prisoners, evangelists. And he said, well, like, name one. So I named an evangelist, Kenneth Copeland, who I named. And he said, well, where does this man live? And I said, well, he lives in Fort Worth. And he said, well, I want to go up and see him. And I said, well, I don't know this man personally. So he said, but I want us to go up there. So that's exactly what happened. We ended up, and he wanted to go up through Austin. And when he said that to me, I saw a picture, and I'm sure it was from God, because I saw a road blockade all around Austin. And then I saw a picture of Kerrville, Texas, and I felt that God was telling me to tell him we're supposed to go to Kerrville, and I saw him getting on a bus. And I said, you're supposed to get on a bus. And I told him all this stuff, which all sounds very bizarre and crazy, except this is all written in the newspaper in San Antonio. I mean, it's not, it sounds like
So basically you had a vision showing you there was this roadblock. He must have thought you were nuts, but how did he think that you were telling him the truth?
Well, after I told him this, he said, I want you to go into that convenience store there and get me a paper, cigarettes, and beer.
So, he's really trusting you at this point, because you could have gone out the back door.
I could have.
Or told the man, I've got a psychopath that's with a gun on me.
Yeah, I really could have. But I really believed that God had put me there. I felt this peace in me. I felt that God had really put me in the situation. So I bought the beer, I bought the cigarettes, I bought the paper, and I looked down on the paper and I noticed he was headlines of the paper. And it was amazing to me when I looked at it, I still didn't have fear when I looked at it. When I took it back to the car and he started reading the paper and he said, have you read this paper before? And I said, no. And he said, he read me the first paragraph, and in the first paragraph it talked about a road blockade around Austin.
Exactly what you had seen in the vision, so he knew you were hearing from God.
Yeah, I said, that's God.
So did he?
Yeah, he said, now where are we supposed to go?
He's now asking you, and you're the one he's going to murder and rape.
He's asking me.
Let me tell you something. If God could love this man, comprehend how much God could love you. God has so much love that you've never even experienced that you're about to experience. We'll be back right after this word. might want to go to the control room and find out who will be on next week. Janie, who's up?
You'll be interviewing a woman by the name of Rose Price, and she experienced the horrors of the Holocaust. Nearly 100 of her relatives died in the Holocaust, and Rose herself was experimented on and tortured, and she had so much hate. Then she ended up moving to America, and I mean, she didn't die in the Holocaust, which was a miracle, but she still had hatred towards the German people. And when she moved to America, she got married, had children, and when her daughter was a teenager, she said, "Mommy, I believe in Jesus." And Rose felt betrayed because she thought it was in Jesus' name that her whole family was killed. And so Rose wanted to just prove to her family that this Jesus is not the Messiah. And so she just ended up searching the scriptures, and she ended up finding out that Jesus really was the Messiah, and he gave her supernatural forgiveness for the German people.
I can't wait for that. Thank you, Janie. Now, Margie, here you are in the car with this psychopath who's murdered 30 women that look just like you, murdered and raped, and all of a sudden, he's taking direction from you because God's supernatural. He realizes it's God speaking through you, and he even had the trust to let you call your husband?
Yeah, he told me to call my husband, so I called home. And you know, he said all day, he kept saying, "I don't know if I'm going to be able to let you go or not." And, you know, he just changed his mind. He said, "Call your husband." So I called my husband. And when my husband answered the phone, all of a sudden, the calm that I'd had all day went out the window. I started shaking.
I'm sure.
When I heard his voice, I started thinking, am I going to see my family again and things like that. And anyway, when I got off the phone, Stephen was standing there with the gun on me, and he said, "You're really upset." And I put my hands on him, and I said, "In Jesus' name, I take authority in Jesus' name over the spirit of fear and command it to leave me." And it left immediately, and that peace came back on me. And I said,
"Why didn't you tell your husband what was going on? You had a, well, he wouldn't have known."
Because Stephen was standing right there.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, he was standing right there with a gun on me when I was on the phone.
All right.
So I couldn't tell him. And he knew something was wrong, and he kept saying, "What's the matter?" I said, "I'll be home later. I'm out shopping." It was Christmas time. So, you know, he just let it go at that. And so after I got off the phone, I was shaken up. But God's peace came back on me right after I prayed, and we got back in the car and started going up to Kerrville, where I'd seen God showed us to go. And so on the way up there, Stephen started telling me that he had this son. And he said, "I haven't told you this, but I have a son." And I said, "Well, I want to ask you a question. If this son had committed the same crimes that you've committed, I don't know what they are, if he'd done exactly what you did and have done, would you be willing to die for him? And let's just say there is a hell. Would you be willing to go to hell and pay for all of these crimes?" That God would say, "If you do this, you're going to pay for every crime that your son's committed. Would you be willing to die and go to hell for him? And I want to know if you could still love your son if he'd done those kind of crimes.
That's a very
Would you forgive him?
That's a very penetrating question."
So it was, he said, "Well, that's a hard question, lady." And I said, "Well, you need to answer it. I want you to answer me." And he said, "Well, you know what?
You're saying to a man, a psychopath with a gun, that you need to answer it."
Yes.
"Lady, you got chutzpah."
So he said, "You know what? I would die for my son. I would die for him. And I would forgive him." And I said, "Well, you know what? That's exactly what Jesus Christ did for you." And he just looked at me. He said, "You've been preaching to me all day, and I finally understand what you're trying to say." And then we just kind of drove on in silence for a while. And all of a sudden, he pulled my car over to the side of the road, and he was looking all around my car. He looked in back of him and all over the place. And I didn't know what he was doing.
What was he looking for?
Well, he stopped my car on the side of the road after looking all over the place, and then his hands went up in the air like this, and he said, "Jesus, I'm sorry for everything I've ever done. Please forgive me. I want to go to heaven." And I just sat there staring at him because I had not said to do that. But what had happened was, he told me later, he said, remember when I was looking around the car? And I said, yes. He said, I heard an audible voice. And he said, it came from up here and it said to me, this is the last time I'm going to call you, Stephen. And so he said, when I heard that voice, and now I didn't hear it, but he heard it, and he said it was very loud. He said, I knew it was Jesus. And he said, I knew all day, everything that had gone on, how, you know, he said, I could just see the peace that you'd had and everything. And I realized that this was not a joke. You had this, everything you'd said was true, and there really was a Jesus and is a Jesus. And this was not something you made up. He said, I had thought it was just, you know, you had this strong faith, but I knew it was something real.
So look, he's one of the 10 most wanted men in America. There's helicopters going all over. Everyone's looking for him. They're furious to find him. What did he do next now that he believes in Jesus?
Well, I mean, at that point in the car, you know, when he put his hands up after hearing this voice, he started crying. And he said, it's gone, it's gone. And I said, what's gone? And he said, lady, something just came in me and all the hatred is gone out of me. He said, I've been hating and hating, and I've hated myself and hated everybody else. And I feel like I've been clean. I'm clean now. And I said, well, you have, what the Bible says, you have been born again. And he said, what in the world is that? And I said, well, when you got born the first time, you have an earthly mother and father, and you have their blood in you. You are their seed. Well, when you ask Jesus to come into your life, he puts his seed into you, which is eternal life. And God becomes your father, and Jesus' blood comes into you. You have supernatural DNA, and he washes your sins away supernaturally. I said, it's supernatural. And he said, I don't deserve this. He said, I don't deserve it, but I feel like I'm clean, lady. And he was overwhelmed with this feeling. And so then we drove on up to Kerrville. And when we got there, I went into the bus station and I said, is there a bus going to Austin anytime soon? And he said, in 30 minutes, there's a bus going. So Stephen and I sat there waiting for this bus. And when I went back to the car, he said, don't tell me there's a bus going to Fort Worth. And I said, yeah, the next bus coming in is going to Fort Worth. So they eventually caught him, and he was executed. But there is a big prison ministry now as a result of his life.
What did he say to the police officer that arrested him?
Well, he said, if I had seen you earlier this morning, there would have been a shootout and I would have killed myself. But I met this lady today and she changed my life, and I'll never be the same again. So,
looking back in retrospect, how could you have done that, Margie?
I couldn't.
How could you have gone through this?
I couldn't have done it without Jesus.
I mean, you're just a mom.
I know, I am. Well, I mean, I couldn't do it without Jesus. But that morning I said, I will never forget this. That morning I said, God, I'll do anything you want me to do for you. Don't ever say that if you don't mean it. Because
yes,
God literally
you,
used me.
Had you not,
had I not
done
I'd
that,
be dead.
You'd be dead.
I'd be dead.
Did you hear that? Do you remember the voice that this man heard? This is your last chance. I believe that some of you that are watching me right now, God has been calling you for a long time, and this is your last chance. Pray this prayer with me and mean it to the best of your ability. I don't care what you have done. God loves you. His love is pouring right through this television set right now. There is something happening to you, and that's God's Spirit. Repeat this prayer. Dear God, out loud, dear God, I'm a sinner. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. And because of his blood, I am clean. And now that I am clean, I make Jesus my Messiah and Lord. Lord Jesus, come inside of me. Take over my life. I need to know my Father God. I need to know the goodness of God. My earthly father made mistakes, but oh God, your love is being poured into me right now. Fill me, say this out loud, fill me in Jesus' name with your Holy Spirit. You see, because of Jesus, you've been made holy. God says, I remember your sins no more. Fill them right now, oh God. Let them experience the love of the Father. The love, the clean, undefiled love of the Father. Let them experience your peace. And let nothing separate them from your love. Let nothing ever separate them again. I urge you to get a Bible, start reading it, and start telling God how much you love him, because you are special. God really, really loves you. He really does. He sent me here to tell you. That's why I'm here. He loves you. He does.